And welcome back. Time for us to get started in implementing and testing our custom resources. This is the beginning of several modules of how to get everything put together, put in some of our own code, and make some of our own stuff work for us. Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. So take a look at the slide. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off with talking about designing custom resources. I've got some web information for you and stuff to update you to the latest information. You're going to want to check this after you've watched the entire thing as well. Then we're going to dive in and start talking about test target resource, set target resource, and get target resource, those three special functions in our resource that we need to fill out. So let's get started with designing a custom DSC resource information. Now, there's a lot of information when you need to sit down and think about when you're designing your custom resource. What we're going to show you is how to structurally put everything together. But when we're done today, you definitely want to take a look at these. You can even look at them now. One of the things that I really like, the PowerShell team is trying to help us out with some best practices on what your custom resources need to do and how you need to behave with them. Now, these are evolving best practices. Remember, this February release just came out, like a week ago. These are evolving best practices as it's being developed. But let me go ahead and bring this up for us so that you can see it. DSC resource design and testing checklist. Now, this is a lengthy amount of information, but it's very, very good information. So things like you want to have a resource module. What we just made with the resource designer with a PSD1 file and a schema mod for every resource. Well, we can click on that and go in and see the details, and they'll show us the folder structure details that we should have and some of the additional things that we may put in there as well. And they'll go through all of these points. Now, we couldn't hit every single one of these, but we got a lot of them in our demonstrations throughout today. But I want you to be able to, after we're done, you should be able to go out there and take a look at this, and it'll make sense on what you're doing and what you're adding in. This is very helpful. And this is also a great time to contribute and communicate with the community. Something else in addition to that is you're going to want to stay updated with some of the latest DSC documentation. And here's a great link to where the PowerShell team is discussing some references of how they're updating their own documentation for on the blogs and the technical library. So as you're working with custom resources or DSC in general, there's gonna be times you're gonna need some more detailed information, and they're keeping you up to date with what they're updating on the latest and greatest. Pull server creation has changed quite a bit since the original release, so they're updating their documentation. This also should let you kind of insight on the idea that this is very important to them, so that they're always updating this. So make sure you go back and check. These articles do get changed. Also, something definitely to do, because there's a lot of great information in here, and I wanted to show you this. When you download WMF5, the preview February preview release, let's see here. When you go to the download for it, there's going to be some release notes. And I know that there's a tendency to kind of just graze over or skip these release notes. These are very detailed release notes that will tell you what is stable and what is still experimental. And it will also give you a lot of information about the entire release, not just what came with DSC. And there's a lot of information in here and a lot of helpful, useful example code to get you started. Every time there's a release, these notes will get updated. So you want to make sure that you check those to kind of get started seeing what changes have been out there as this evolves. Well, Jeffrey, given them all the documentation on designing their custom resources, what do you say we start to design a custom resource?
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I know. Sounds like it. So we're going to start off with taking a look at the test target resources. And if you want to look at the slide, this is the first step in the configuration enactment process. And Jeffrey, this is we were talking about this yesterday when we were talking about the script resource. And initially, this was, and as I mentioned yesterday, this was one of the things that mentally I had to kind of figure out what was actually going on. This is when I actually started to learn how DSC worked. The point to the configuration is it needs to be able to test to see if we're in our desired state,
yep,
or not. So that's what the test target resource does, is it's there to check to see if we're configured the way we're supposed to be.
Exactly. So you're going to get your test target resource command is going to give you a resource. Remember, it has to have a key. We mentioned that keys were required. So then your test resource is going to use that key to look up the resource. And then that resource that was passed in is going to have a set of properties. And so then you're going to go and see, is the resource you looked up have the properties in that state? And if the answer is yes, you return yes. And if the answer is no, you return no, or true and false. And it's really that simple.
And really, it's that simple, but it's you've got to return a Boolean, so you've got to do the testing for this, and you've got to tell us whether it is or it isn't in that state. And so this is the first step in it. If the test is true, then we're done. Mm-hmm. If the test is false, that's when we're going to move on then to the set target resource.
Yep.
But the test one is the first one that's going to get run
yep.
when we do this.
And you're going to want to make them fast. You want to make these very lightweight. So imagine you had a command that did a get, and we weren't able to get a single thing. You had to get them all, and that was expensive. Well, your test is going to be called once for every resource. So if you have to get them all and that's really expensive, and you check one and then you do it again and you get them all, that could be expensive. So again, you want your test to be very, very quick. So if you had a situation like that, you maybe wanted the first time do a get and then keep it in memory and then just work against that list.
Work against it. But I think this is a really important point, is to make sure that the test runs quickly.
Fast. Yep.
Because it's going to get run quite a bit, and yep. you don't want to drag. And I know I built one of my first tests. I just grabbed a huge collection, and I only needed a couple of things out of it. Now, that ran really slow. I think it was like event logs, system logs or something. and I'm like, blah, 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 that's not going to work well over the long term. And then it was, okay, wait a minute, just get me what I need. And that's the important thing, is thinking through down to getting it as small and as fast as possible.
Correct.
So let's take a look at an example. Now I'm going to show you the structure that was created for me, and then I'm put in some simple code to do some testing. So let me kind of flip over to my machine here, and I'm going to open up the demo script here that I have. And I'm going to scroll down. I'll actually close these other ones. And I'm going to go down here to test target resource. Now, Jeffrey, I've noticed that a lot of people now are starting to change their own structure. They're moving these to where they flow test target set or test target resource, set target resource, get target resource. But my mind is just going to leave them right now as get, set, test. For some reason,
they're alphabetical.
Oh, how is it arranged? Alphabetical. Okay, we'll leave it alone. And that's
it's probably not a good reason.
So on my test target resource, this is the structure that was created for me when the DSE resource designer created. I want you to notice that it said that its output type is going to be Boolean and that it created parameters for me. So it put in the mandatory true for my service name. It did this for me. Now I had it do a validate set. So it created a parameter with validate set, string for my service status, and then for my insurer as well. Now, there are some reminders in here. We're going to talk about this verbose and debug information later on that are comments in here. And then you need to put your code inside here of what you want it to do. What did I do with my code? Oh, here it is. I forgot to open up the actual code itself. So, and what I did is we need to actually return something in this that's going to be true or false. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to check on a particular, this is going to be a resource that changes the state of a service, is the one that I'm writing right here. I know we already have one. I just wanted to keep the code simple for the idea.
By the way, that's always a technique. You always want to, when you're exploring, you always want to do something that's safe and easy to explore with to understand the mechanisms. That's why with PowerShell processes is one of the things. They're light to get, they're pretty safe to work with, and you'll see that processes are by far the most expanded upon thing. If you want to learn PowerShell, focus in on processes. Now here with DSE, services turns out to be one of the easiest things to configure and start and stop, because there's some you just don't know or care about, like you just delete
bits.
Them. Yeah, exactly, bits, exactly. Just delete that thing, turn it on, turn it off. ALG, I always use ALG.
ALG, yeah.
It's ALG, three letters.
An audio service on a server, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so just mess around with bits or service, not because you really want to manage service, but because it allows you to focus in on the mechanisms without the vagaries of, did I screw something up? Is it safe, et cetera?
And see, I just want to point out, you're known as this incredible architect, distinguished engineer, inventor of PowerShell. I mean, all that. But I'm known as the king of Git service dash name bits. That's all my demos are.
Wow, good man.
Keep it simple.
Search that in Google.
Yes, put that in Google. I'm the guy. So take a look here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fill a variable of does the service actually exist. So notice I'm just going to do a Git service dash name, and I'll explain the error action and why I have it silently continue right now a little bit later on, because we'll do some error handling in here. I'm going to set up a simple if. So if service exists.status is equal to the service status that came from the configuration that I set up. So here's the service status. Did I want it running or stopped? So if it does equal, in other words, there's nothing to do, I'm going to do a write verbose. So you can see that it says service status is correct. Else, if it's not matching that, then service status is not correct. And, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm showing you, I think, my get instead of I'm sorry. Let me go down here to the test. Almost the same code. Let me get you down here to the test. Similar code. So, again, service exists, get service on the name. I'll do ensure equals present because that's what I'm checking for. So back to if service exists, it's not equal to null. I'll check that status. So if the status is equal to, I'm going to say, hey, there's nothing to configure because a service has the correct status, and I'm going to return a value of true. So this means that the Boolean will be true, so the test is done. We don't do anything else. However, if the service status does not meet what the configuration was set to, then I'm just going to say, for my own information, need to configure, status is not correct, and I'm going to set it to false. This will return then a false. And if the service didn't exist, there's nothing to configure because the name doesn't exist. So it'll return a false. And an else at the very end that there's nothing to configure at all because ensure is set to absent. So I have a little bit of a chewy if else setup here, but it does the job for right now, and it's going to return true if it, you know, when it needs to, and false when it doesn't.
And I'm very pleased to see that you're using lots of write verbose. Write verbose is definitely your friend.
Yeah.
When you're debugging or diagnosing a situation, you want to be able to look at the verbose stream to understand why things are happening. So documenting that, a little investment in some good verbose things will pay off immensely. I just guarantee you, it's the best investment you will make.
And we are going to talk about write verbose and write debug more a little bit later, but might as well just show it to you now, because in order for me to get anything to check to make sure it's working correct, I want to put in my own verbose code. When we run this, we'll see it, and that helps me out quite a bit. So I'm a big fan of write verbose, not write host. Anyways, so I'm going to take my little magical code here. Whoops. I'm out of control with my mouse. And I'm just going to copy that, and I can put it right into my test resource section, and it's all good. I'm ready to go with my test. So we've done the test. Let's do this. Let me flip over to our slides so our production guy doesn't yell at me.
Yay!
Let's talk about test target resource. Now that we've set target resource, helps if I look at the slide. We've just done the test target resource and put in some simple code doing a simple thing so we can see if it's working, going to return a true or a false. Now we need to, okay, if it isn't in our desired state, set target resource is what gets executed next. And this should put it into our desired state. So this will actually perform the change that we're looking for based upon the results of the test. So in my case, since we're going to change the state of a service, again, the code's pretty straightforward, but it's the concept of getting all of the mechanical stuff put together. Let's go back to the code. Dun da da, dun da da da. Here we go. So I'm going to bring up the code for it. Oops, here we go. And let's try not to make the same mistake I did the last time of
Dave going says into your code's the, wrong.
What?
Dave says your code's wrong.
What's wrong with my code, Dave?
It says, if there's nothing to configure, it should be returning true. Otherwise, your set method's going to be called.
There's nothing to configure, ensure is absent. So I didn't want it to configure.
So if you return false, it's going to call the set.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Yes, as someone else in the audience pointed out, precious and few.
You were here yesterday. That is precious and few. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Oh. Can't
thank
believe
you,
it.
Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Now I have to correct it in the master code when I go back over there. So, and yes, for all of you that are watching this video series at maybe a recorded later date, all of this stuff is going to be updated and in that module on the PowerShell gallery. So now back to my set target. So my set target, the code's going to be pretty simple. So I'm going to do a write verbose right now where I'm just going to say, okay, I'm changing the service status. So if status is equal to running, then start the service, whatever the service was in the configuration, else stop it. We'll talk about this thing down here a little bit later. So the code is really straightforward. So in my example, I either want to start the service or stop the service, depending upon what the configuration was asking for. And that'll achieve the result for it. I'm going to take my little block of code. Yeah, probably be easier if I just did it this way. And then Dave, I'll make the correction over here in my module. Let me go down here. Shows you how good my late night testing was. So I'll go up to the set.
By the way, talk about the real-time benefits of community.
Yeah, right there.
If you had written this code and kept it to yourself, you'd have this bug.
I'd have this bug. It would be wrong forever.
And then you'd know about it and during some critical crisis.
Exactly. See, Dave, we love you. Matter of fact, you could stay at my house anytime you want. So as long as you read my code, correct it. So now I've got my test in. My set in, which is just changing my service to whatever the state is that I need it to be changed to. Now, Jeffrey, this is, and again, this was the point that yesterday that I ran into that was confusing, and this whole get target resource. The get target resource for me, the process is this. We test. If test is good, we stop. If test false, we do the set. That mentally makes good with my brain. Do this or don't do this, but you know, it's a do this or don't do this, do this not. So I got the whole, I know that was pretty weird. But now what is the get there for? It's not being called in this process.
It isn't for setting the configuration, but it's used for get DSC configuration.
So really what the get is telling us is not, it's telling us what the current state is, right? Mm-hmm. It's not checking to see if it's desired or not. It's just saying, bleh, here's what it is.
Yep.
So this is a way for us to maybe use this as for troubleshooting, like if we're working with our resources and stuff like that, or checking to see, you know, if it's in its current state.
And later you'll see we'll use it for comparisons. So we'll say, you'll want to say, here's a document, and I want to compare it against that. And right now we do that, and we tell you it's in compliance or it's not in compliance. So let's be clear. So one of the scenarios you can do is to author a configuration and produce a MOF. Now, before you go push it, you can take that and say, I'd like to compare this against that machine. We'll send the MOF over there, and instead of doing a set, we'll do a bunch of gets, and then we do a comparison, and we tell you that machine's in the desired state or it's not in the desired state. Further, we'll tell you which resources are in the desired state and which resources are not in the desired state. We will be working on, but I don't believe it's there right now, for the resources that are not in the desired state, which properties are not in the desired state.
Oh, that would be very
useful. For that, you need the get.
You need the get. Now, I've noticed early on, a lot of people, myself included, were kind of ignoring the get altogether. Just to get a resource to work, we were focusing on the test and the set. But because of, as you describe it, the get is just as important as everything else. So if you're seeing something out there that says ignore the get, don't ignore the get. Make sure the get works. Make sure that get DSE configuration works against it. So the other thing I would point out about the get is that we have to return this as a hash table. So I want to show you this code and show you what this is going to look like for setting up the get. So let's go back into where my code is, and I'm going to scroll up to get target resource. And I just wanted to very quickly, very easily, just get the information or about my services. So again, service exists. I'm going to grab get service name. That service name, this is pretty much the same code I had almost started with in my test. The status, and see if it's equal to the status, and I'm going to write verbose. The service status is correct or it's not correct. Notice I'm not doing anything to the service status. I'm just reporting what it is. And for me, this made perfectly good sense in the get. It's when I got to the hash table that it threw a little bit off. It's one of the things IT pros had, this is, you know, hash tables kind of foreign kind of thing, and that we learn about. But this return value that I have here, what do you think of my hash table? Service name equals, and if he says I'm in trouble. I'm going to return the service name, the service exists status, and what its ensure was set to, and then I'll return that value out.
That's the most beautiful hash table I've ever seen in my life.
Yes! Yes, all two neurons fired that day. It's both of them. And the reason that this hash table, this is the example that's in the template when you run XDSE resource. So there is help in there for all of us. So take a look at the examples. So it's really simple on the get. Now, I've got the get done, and now I want to kind of put this together a little bit. So I've showed you all the code. Boy, oh, we're going to put this together. I see. I forgot. Let me go back to the slides here real quick and just check. So we've got our get resource. Yep, that's what I thought. Okay. One quick second. So what we've got here is I didn't copy the code over. Let me go copy the code over. And bring this down. And I'm going to put this code into my module. Again, the template made this really easy for me. Let me collapse the set, open up the get. And if you're wondering, I actually ran this code separately as a PS1 to test it, of course, to make sure that it was working before I put it into my module. And now I've got a complete module that has all of my code for the get, the set, and the test. And I want you to notice down here, I'm exporting the module members. And there's a reason that I'm doing it this way. You export the module members, you'll know that you've created modules before. A lot of times you'll create modules that have advanced functions and you're not necessarily using export module member because each one of the advanced functions is all contained. A lot of times though, when you're writing custom resources, you're gonna have a simple test, a set, and a get, but you're gonna have a lot of helper functions in this module. In fact, if you go out and look at some of the resources written by Microsoft, you'll see that they keep their tests, their sets, and their gets pretty simple, but they have lots of helper functions along the way. In fact, one of the great ways to add to your skill set after today is to go look at the modules that Microsoft has written. They've done most of them in PowerShell, and you can see the structure that they're doing. And they have tons and tons and tons of helper functions that they're calling from the test, the set, or the get. Now, when you do that, you don't want all of those exported, so that's when you export module member really comes into play. And you'll notice I just kept it really simple. *-target resource gave me all of my target resources at the end. And I gotta be honest with you, with that, that's those three functions. We're pretty much done with those.
Okay, well, I had a couple questions in the forums. People were asking about verbose. Yeah, and whether they were localized strings, should you localize them? And or they're pre-formatted strings. And the answer is, as a general rule, verbose streams should be localized because those are for users. And debug strings are for programmers. Do whatever you want there. Okay, now that said, localization is often a pretty high expensive thing to do. And so you'll see if my suggestion is to take a look what I did with the geocode, because I specifically wrote the geocode. Turns out that there is a wonderful match between the desire to not localize things and the readability of your verbose stream. So again, if you recall yesterday, we talked about how the verbose stream was really it's best if you can design it so that it's not so much readable as recognizable, which is to say you take a look and you see there's a structure and you're able to then look at the structure and you don't have to read the sentence, you just see the structure. So if you'll take a look, swap to my screen here, what I did was I downloaded the XGEA module. Okay, that's my Just Enough Admin module. And I'm in that directory and I'm gonna look at the PS1 files. I'm gonna select the verbose stream and then I'm gonna show you the line trimmed. Okay, so that's just a way of normalizing things. And you'll notice here, what I do is I have new. Now, everything that's a PowerShell name doesn't need to be localized. All the PowerShell verbs,
right,
we assume you don't localize, right? Everybody just needs to learn those things. So new is a PowerShell verb. You're not going to need to localize that. We have a way of describing things, right? So we say, hey, here is the type and then the username. So new type username. Add, again, PowerShell verb. So to this account, you know, to this username, this account, I'm adding to this group. Okay, and so you'll see that here, and when you run GEA, you'll see that the output is very easy to recognize, and again, visually parse. So it is readable, but it also does not need to be localized. And I encourage that as a best practice.
So you encourage as a best practice that you don't need to go through the extra effort. And by the way, you can find tons of resources. I don't want to say tons. You can find additional resources on doing the localization, and it is a lot of heavy lifting to do for all of that. But what you're saying,
but I'm saying it's counterproductive.
It's counterproductive, yeah. And that doing it this way with the right verbose, creating that easily recognizable structure, is better off than doing that.
And again, it's not so much because there's going to be so much verbose content. You don't want people like, you know, reading it like da 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 da. Okay, you want them to, hey, you're going to look at this and you see the structure and you're going to have to figure out what it's saying. So there's a little bit of extra work to begin with, but then it should be obvious. I mean, if you look at this stuff and you run it, it's going to be pretty obvious what it is. But then all of a sudden, it becomes easy to visually parse. What you're going to find is, I don't know, did you ever use those old systems where you used to be able to do X windows? You had a terminal window,
right,
and you could have a little thumbnail that you do. And so you have a terminal window hidden somewhere, and you'd see the thumbnail, and you had your build going on there. And you could just look at the little pattern of stuff and see when you had a problem.
Right.
Okay? So you had a little representation, so little variations. Your mind is very good at picking up any visual variations, things that aren't aligned or something like that. And so that's what happens is you tune into that portion of your brain to then see that, okay, yeah, no, this is the right pattern. Wait, no, that's the wrong pattern. Then you drill in. So there's a correspondence between not localizing for both streams and readability.
Well,
by the way, I'm talking specifically about desired state configuration. That is not a general rule.
And this is a really good point. And I think a lot of people that are newer at PowerShell, they often ask, why do I have to indent this way? And why do we have all these rules of indentation? It's like about the fifth time you look at it, you'll see where the problem is. Without reading where the problem is,
yeah,
you'll just see where the problem is.
Yeah, so. And actually, if you take a look at my stuff here, you'll see that, notice here, remove is longer than test. So I ended up having to put extra spaces in test,
yeah,
so that this aligned up.
You know, I'm thinking like Dave Wyatt, Stephen Murawski, somebody could make a really quick designer for this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, make it so that way you didn't have to put all the space. But that's awesome. I love that. And I love the point that you bring up about the localization, because I think that's an issue right now where this, to me, makes a lot of sense without all that heavy lifting.
Well, look, and here I didn't do it right. Register. Anyway.
Well, we won't point that out, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Do you have anything else from the chat room that you noticed that you...
What was it? Localized names? Nope. That was it.
Okay. Awesome. Well, folks, tell you what. This is where we wanted to be with getting a test target resource, set target resource, and a get target resource set up in our module. Now, remember, the designer built the structure for us. We just went in and put the code in. Test, it's got to return a Boolean true or false. So we want to make sure that we get that out correct. The set is going to actually make the change. Get is going to check on its current state. So whatever it is currently, whether it's in or out, doesn't matter, just what it is currently. With that code, now we want to start to package up our module and see if it actually works. And that's what we're going to do after a break. We come back from a break and then we go into the next
module. It's already time for a break?
It's already time for a break. A little bit early on this one, but it was kind of, the designer did a lot of the work, so.
It does. Perfect.
Yeah. Awesome. So, see you in a few minutes when we come back. We'll package this up and test it out.